Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with strangers in the Lord's house as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 46. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Lest your heart faint and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come in one year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be confounded, and her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoiler shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuary of the Lord's house. That was, of course, something that was totally forbidden, that God's house was a holy place. And there were those places where the Jews, of course, they had the outer courts where the Gentiles could come. But then no Gentile could pass into the inner court. Only the Jews were allowed into that area. But then into the area of the holy place, only the priest could come. And then, of course, into the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could come, and that only on one day of the year. But now the temple, the holy place, the place that they had kept from defilement, the strangers, the Babylonians, had come right into the Holy of Holies and stripped it of its gold and tore it down, broke it in pieces and all, and destroyed it. And here they profaned that holy place. And so the cry against it, for the strangers are come into the sanctuary of the Lord's house, the holy places. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all of her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. A sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like the great waves, the noise of their voices uttered. Because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. And I will make drunk her princes, and her wise men, her captains, and they were all drunk. Read the account in Daniel. And her rulers, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is Jehovah of hosts. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon, 80 feet thick, shall be utterly broken. Her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, means he must have been the brother of Baruch, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Seraiah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote it in a book, all of the evil that would come upon Babylon, even all of the words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when you've come to Babylon and you will see, read all of these words. Then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither shall man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when you have made an end of reading this book that you shall bind a stone to it and cast it into the middle of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary thus far, or thus ends the words of Jeremiah. So this binding a stone to, Jeremiah wrote the thing down, said, now, Sariah, you take it to Babylon, and when you get there, read it. All of the destruction that God has proclaimed against this place. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had shown great favor to Jeremiah because Jeremiah had prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar would conquer Judah. And he encouraged the people of Judah to surrender and not to try to fight because God had purposed to deliver them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, because of this, Jeremiah was accused of treason. He was accused of weakening the morale of the soldiers and was placed in prison. But Nebuchadnezzar had heard of the prophecies of Jeremiah, and thus he had special treatment for Jeremiah. When you conquer them, treat Jeremiah well. Give him a, you know, tell him if he wants to come to Babylon, we'll set him up there. Or if he wants to stay, let him do whatever he wants and, you know, give him enough to live on. And so Nebuchadnezzar treated Jeremiah very well, but Jeremiah is true to God. And though he now is prophesying this horrible destruction that is coming against Babylon, you know, thinking, wow, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, get angry with me for this one, you know. Yet, you know, he's honest before God and goes ahead and sends this guy to read this prophecy in Babylon. He's not a mercenary. He's not going to be bought. He's going to be faithful to the word of God that God has given to him. And oh, how important this is for us to be faithful to the word of God. And though it may hurt, speak it forth. One of the weaknesses of our age is this kind of a polyander attitude that we have, you know, well, don't want to offend anybody, you know, so just try and mellow things out and don't make people feel bad. And yet that isn't being honest, you know, to say, well, don't worry, things are going to work out, you know. Our government is the greatest government in the world, and we're surely going to solve our problems. And great days are right around the corner. This new economic program is going to work, and we're going to have prosperity. And we're going to move ahead. We're going to stop inflation. We're going to stop crime. We're going to have a glorious utopia that you'll be able to live in, this blessed America, you know. Well, sounds good, but it's not true. Evil days are going to wax worse and worse. And we've got to speak God's truth, even though it hurts, even though it cuts. We've got to speak the truth. So Jeremiah sent Sariah to Babylon with this scroll. Read it, then tie a rock to it and throw it in the river Euphrates. And as it sinks, say, that's the way Babylon's going to sink. Now, again, in comparing this with Revelation and the prophecy of God in Revelation against this commercial Babylon, the angel in Revelation chapter 18 again took and tied this thing to a millstone and cast it into the sea and again cried of the destruction. Verse 21, a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Now, if you'll read Revelation 17, 18, you'll find tremendous parallels between that and Jeremiah 50, 51, as Jeremiah speaks of the destruction of the kingdom of Babylon at that time, and it is a type of the destruction of the religious and spiritual commercial Babylon that is to be destroyed in the yet future. Now into chapter 52 is just a page out of their history, and it is just sort of a review of the final days under Zedekiah, the destruction by Nebuchadnezzar and the carrying away into captivity. It is also found in Jeremiah chapter 39, and historically it is found in 2 Kings chapter 25. So he's just sort of giving now, and this is probably written not by Jeremiah, it doesn't say that it was Jeremiah, but just a page out of the history. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem. And it gives his mother's name and so forth. He did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah till he had cast them out of the presence that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, the 10th day of the month, so close to the end of the ninth year of his reign in Jerusalem, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came and all of his army against Jerusalem. They pitched against it and built forts round about it. So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. So 14 months. And in the fourth month, 18th month, so in a year and a half, the ninth day of the month, the famine was so bad in the city, there was no bread for the people of the land. Actually, the method by which Babylon usually conquered was very cruel. That is, they would cut off all of the supplies to the city, and they would just starve the people out. They would wait until they were too weak to fight or to defend. So it's really a sort of a horrible way. You're in the city. There's no way you can get food. And so you just sort of cannibalize, eat the stuff that is there until it is gone, and then you starve. And finally, in your weakened conditions, they move their machines up, break down the walls, and come in and slaughter people. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, endeavored this type of a siege against Tyre, the port city. He was besieging Tyre for 13 years before it fell. But being a seaport, they were able to bring things in by the sea for a long time. But it took him 13 years to conquer Tyre because of their ability to replenish their supplies. As we get in a few weeks into Ezekiel, though, you're going to find an extremely fascinating prophecy that deals with the destruction of Tyre. And again, showing how that the Word of God is so exciting and marvelous whenever it deals in the realms of prophecy, because it is so accurate. So, after 18 months, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore so that there was no bread. And the city was broken up. All of the men of war fled. They went out of the city at night by way of the gate that is between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city, and they went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king, and he overtook Zedekiah down near Jericho, and his army was scattered from him. And then they took the king and carried him unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who was at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He had to watch his own sons being slain, and also the princes of Judah. And then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Now, Zedekiah was told by Jeremiah, surrender, you know, give up and turn yourself over. The Nebuchadnezzar will treat you well, and kept encouraging him to do that. Zedekiah refused to do so. He said, if you try to resist, you're going to be destroyed. And Zedekiah would not listen to the word of God, and thus his horrible doom. Bound, carried to Babylon, his eyes gouged out, and died there in the prison in Babylon. Now in the fifth month, the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, to Jerusalem, and he burned the house of the Lord and the king's palace, and all of the houses of Jerusalem, and all of the houses of the great men, he burned them with fire. And all of the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard, he broke down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away the captives, certain of the poor of the people, the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon, those that surrendered, and the rest of the multitude. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left certain of the poor of the land for vine dressers and for farmers. Also the pillars of brass. Now these great pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, they were there in the temple of Solomon, and the bases, and that brass bowl that the priest used to bathe in. The Chaldeans broke it up and carried the brass of them to Babylon. Also the cauldrons and the shovels, the snuffers, the bowls, the spoons, and all of the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered, they took away. Earlier they had carried away the gold and silver vessels, and now they're taking away all of the brass from the temple unto Babylon. The two pillars and this bowl, this sea, the 12 brass bulls that were molded and were under this brass sea where the priest bathed, all of them were broken up, and of course the weight of them was without measure. Now concerning these pillars that were there, the height of the pillars was 27 feet. They were 18 feet in circumference, so about 6 feet across, 27 feet high, but they were hollow, but the brass was 4 inches thick. So you can imagine the weight of these pillars that were there in the temple that were broken up and carried away. Beg your pardon, rather than 4 inches, 4 fingers thick. So about that thick. And of course, they had these filigreed works on them with the ornamentation, the pomegranates and all. And it goes on to describe these pomegranates, 96 of them on each side, and all of the pomegranates, the network were 100 roundabout. And the captain of the guard took Zariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the keepers of the door. He took also out of the city a eunuch, which had charge of the men of war, and 7 men of them that were near the king's person, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, who mustered the people of the land, 60 men of the people, and they were found in the midst of the city. They brought them to Nebuchadnezzar there at Riblah, and the king of Babylon smote them, put them to death in Riblah. And thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land. This is the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. In the 7th year, that is of his reign, 3,000 Jews, 3,023. Among those was Daniel. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away from captive another 832 persons. And then in the final carrying away, the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, they carried away of the Jews 745. All of the persons that were carried away, 4,600. Really not very many compared to the total population, for most of them were destroyed or fled. It came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, in the 12th month and 25th day of the month, that evil Merodach, a Merodach is a title given to their kings, the king of Babylon, in his first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. He spake kindly unto him, set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and he ate at the king's table. So Jehoiachin the king ended his days more pleasantly than did Zedekiah. So we come to the end of Jeremiah. We move now into Lamentations. The idea is that of weeping. The place that they call Calvary or Golgotha is also called Jeremiah's Grotto. It is thought that it is in one of these caves that comprise what, if you're looking at the cliff there and you're looking for the skull, one of the skull is formed by these caves, or the appearance of the skull is formed by these caves, which would be the sockets of the eyes of a skull. But they're actually caves. And one of them is called Jeremiah's Grotto. And it is thought that that is where Jeremiah sat as he looked from that position back over the city of Jerusalem and wept over its failure to serve God and over its impending doom. And Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And of course, we get into these lamentations, the weeping of Jeremiah over the people and over the destruction that is to come upon them as we move into this book of Lamentations. And so this is the area that we'll cover, the book of Lamentations. That's your assignment to read. And then we get into that fascinating book of Ezekiel. He is quite a prophet and did a lot of weird things, and some think that he saw flying saucers. And we'll be talking about Ezekiel's flying saucers and about flying saucers today in light of Ezekiel's revelations.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Lamentations on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 51 through 52 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and bless you. And may the Word of God dwell in your hearts richly through faith. And being rooted and grounded, may you come into a broader comprehension of the fullness of God's love for your life. May the Lord give you a beautiful week. May He watch over you. And may He keep you with His arms of protection and love. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Through the course of the years, you, our radio listeners, have provided us with valuable feedback as to what has impacted you the most, or what has moved you spiritually in your walk with God. So it's with great pleasure that The Word for Today is pleased to offer you a collection of all-time favorites entitled Pastor Chuck Smith's Most Requested Bible Studies. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa over the past 40 years. They represent the very best Bible studies by Pastor Chuck Smith. Every message is dynamic and filled with rich insights as Pastor Chuck expounds upon relevant issues on a variety of topics related to the Christian faith. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order a copy of Pastor Chuck's Most Requested Bible Studies available on MP3 by calling The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.